what sounds childish. I prefer the word childlike. That's why. And we better hear it again. Must we become like little children? And I repeat, the more intelligent and educated we are, believe me, the harder it is to become like a child. And to see there's only one purpose I have in life, and that is to know, love, and serve God. Period. Close the book. The second truth, to believe that everything in our lives is meant by God to be a means to reach heaven. Everything in the world except God is a means. Memorize that. Burn that into your minds. Everything in our lives except God is a means. God alone is the end. End being the purpose. That's not the way millions, hundreds of millions in our own continent, in over 200 million in America, think, we believe we've got to keep telling ourselves, don't be a fool. Nothing in our lives ever happens. Nothing, nothing. Everything has a divinely ordained purpose. Including these plans. There is no such thing as chance with God. No such thing as coincidence with God. No accidents. We make mistakes. Do we ever? God never does. Everything has a purpose. And our purpose, during life and during this retreat, is having made an inventory of my life, ask myself, what purpose? Thus this or that? He or she have in my life? I finished my undergraduate studies at John Cal University in Cleveland for entering the Society of Jesus, dating a wonderful girl for 4 years. By that time, I came to know women. I better not tell her too soon the decision I made. By the way, my dear friends in Christ, in case you don't know, let me ask you a rhetorical question. Who has a stronger will, men or women? No husband questions it. Women. I waited until Sunday before entering the novitiate on Wednesday. So after dinner, stupidly. Told her what I was going to do when we started the meal. I washed that meal. Go to waste. She didn't touch it. Everything in our lives has a purpose. And during the retreat, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, make an inventory of the creatures in your life. And the most important creatures are not those outside of us. They are inside, in our thoughts and our desires. Now the conclusions. Whatever else the retreat is for, it is to be a time of reflection, a time of discernment. Now the essence of discernment, the prefix dis, distinguish, find out among these persons, places, thoughts, desires, urges, and fears in my life, which ones does God want me to use according to His will? Sure, everything in our lives is meant to be a means to enable us to reach our eternal destiny. Sure. But not all these, we call them creatures. Not all these creatures are to be used in the same way. Over these I found four categories cover the whole gamut of the creatures that God has placed into our lives to enable us to reach our destiny. First, let me give you the four. Some are to be enjoyed. Some are to be endured. Some are to be removed. And some are to be surrendered. Some are to be enjoyed. But we better, and before this retreat is over, I beg you to find out among the creatures in your lives which ones does God want you to enjoy? Just for the record, every temptation is enjoyable. Did you know that? Unless temptations were pleasant, there wouldn't be temptations. Tell me something new. The fact that I enjoy something has nothing, zero, to do whether God wants me to embrace it. But I like it. Silly. That's not the point. I enjoy it. That's not Christianity. Now God wants us to live honestly an enjoyable life in, well, for you in a monastic way of life. For me, St. Ignatius tells us, ours, that's us, are to be ready to travel to various places wherever there is hope of God's greater glory and the good of souls. We have different beds. Pardon me, it was six. In six different beds, in six different states, on six successive nights. In other words, he must discriminate what in my life that I like does God want me to enjoy? The only unhappy people in the world, it's this week, the 18th of June, when we ordained 45 years. Can't believe it. I've come to know many people. The only unhappy people are those who are following their own will. The only happy people I've ever met are those who have sincerely and honestly tried to do the will of God. I didn't used to give retreats this way 44 years ago. I do now. What creatures in my life does God want me to endure? Say that again. You mean that God wants us to endure certain creatures? Certain people? No, you don't. Shall I say, during a retreat, break silence and tap one of your fellow brethren. You call yourselves by your first names? Mike, do you? We do. Mike, I never realized it. You are a great grace in my life, a grace that God wants me to endure. Make an honest to God inventory. What in your life does God want you to endure? And the most bearable pain is pain in the body. The most painful pain is in the soul. We go on. Some creatures God wants us to remove from our lives. And we are the only ones you finally can remove, these creatures. And I repeat what I said before, and it is especially the internal thoughts and desires, urges, impulses. I tell people that everyone should have two brooms in their home. One, say, in the kitchen, and one in their minds. And the broom in our minds is more important than any broom in the kitchen. But these are my thoughts. Sure, they're your thoughts. So, I'm supposed to get rid of them? Silly, you better. There is no such thing as a sterile thought. None, none. Every thought, unless mastered or if need be removed, inevitably leads to a desire. And every desire, unless either removed or controlled, leads to an action. And every action inevitably leads to a habit. And every habit forms a character. And every character determines our destiny. Inside, finally, there are some creatures that are not sinful, so they must be removed as proximate occasions to sin, but that they may be given up, surrendered. In the vocabulary of the church, sacrifice, that's why we are here. Adultery and fornication are sins. The choice of consecrated chastity is an invitation. There are then creatures in our lives that God wants us, and wants us religious more than others, to surrender, to sacrifice, where no sin is involved. I noticed on the schedule, 12 o'clock, you have... May I go a few minutes over? May I? I'm getting adjusted to the circumstances. Finally, we must become eternally free. Naturally speaking, what we want, what we enjoy, is not always what God wants us to enjoy. Naturally speaking, none of us wants to suffer. God wants us to suffer, period. God wants us to suffer, exclamation mark. God wants us to suffer, underline, and circle, and emblaze in dark colors in your mind. If we're going to do what God wants us to do, we must be internally free. And there is no imprisonment like that of an enslaved will. We are not naturally prone to enjoy what we should enjoy, nor naturally inclined to remove what should be removed from our lives, nor naturally ready to endure what God wants us to suffer, nor be naturally inclined to give up our love for God, what He does not command us, hear it, what He does not command us to remove, that sin. But what He offers us is an invitation to surrender out of love for Him. Hence, the need for supernatural help. If there is one purpose of a retreat, it is to become convinced. Unless we become men of prayer, we may survive. We may survive in the religious life or the priesthood, but will not be happy. We need supernatural help from God. And this, as I said, is the definition of grace that I like. To obtain from God, beg Him, Lord, help me to see. You're all blind, naturally blind. We need light. Even all naturally paralyzed, helpless to do what we need, God must provide both the light and the strength. That is why we need a retreat. Retreat is not a luxury, it is a necessity. To make an honest assessment of our lives. And for some people, it may be the first, really, honest to God evaluation of our lives. And then to take the measures needed. And then take the measures needed to put our wills in conformity with the will of God. I'll let it close with a short prayer. Lord Jesus, You have called us to follow You in the practice of the evangelical counsels. To give ourselves to You with all our hearts. Give us the light we need to know Your will in our lives, and the strength above all to do Your will here on earth, and the prelude and the condition for Your heavenly company with the Holy Trinity through all eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.